see what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Brady throws end zone. He's got Evans for the touchdown. Third down and 9. Brady slides. He's going for Godwin downfield. And a juggle and a catch. Brady goes for the deep shot. He's got a touchdown. Scotty Miller.
Oh, my God.
Back of the end zone. Touchdown breaks. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady are going to Super Bowl 55.
See, I think White Sox, for years, the intro on the big screen as the White Sox were starting games was the great montage of highlights from their 100-plus year history.
Oh, yeah, with Ted Lyons.
This great music that really pumps you up, you know? It makes me think White Sox. And Mellor said, yeah, but it's really Pirates of the Caribbean for the Buccaneers. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Good call, Mellor. Good job.
What a great
test. This is that real famous composer, conductor for the movies, too. I blank on his name, but he's a very famous one, if you heard
that. Hans Zimmer?
That might be it. I think it is, yeah. And it doesn't get you fired up, you know, when you hear this. And
I like it.
Tom Brady, as you heard Joe Buck in the highlight there on Fox, is going to, it really is sort of, it boggles the mind. His 10th Super Bowl, guys. I mean, it's just like.
Well, there's only 55 of them, Carl. He's going to 10, so, I mean, that's pretty darn good.
He's been almost 20% of them.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yes.
How in the world did he go to 10? Is Mahomes going to get to 10?
He might get to 10 in a row. He might pull LeBron James.
Well, that ain't happening. Is it your...
Well, don't know. I mean, who's going to challenge him? Buffalo's going to challenge him, right?
I think Buffalo. I think, you know, maybe Baltimore.
I think their key is you're going to have to pay your quarterback. Their key is going to be able to find those skill position players like Hill and Hardman. I mean, they get Kareem Hunt left.
Left, you know, no problem.
Hilaire scored a touchdown yesterday. Welcome back. Would have been there at the end of the year before you did the splits and got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's their challenge. We've got to be able to find these talented groups, these fast-twitch, quick-twitch muscle guys that can make our offense as dynamic as it is.
They seem to find, like, who? Darrell Williams, right? It's not Damian Williams from last year. Darrell Williams, undrafted kid. They seem to find him.
Okay,
right?
That goes to the Carmen and Yurko motto of don't pay running backs because Darrell Williams steps right in and he's productive.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to be dynamic as long as you're productive and you get what's being blocked for you. But it'll be interesting. Part of the reason that I think Tom Brady is the GOAT is when you look at it, he's done it in plenty of different fashions.
Yes.
He did it when he was complimentary in the early part of his career.
Correct.
And then he morphed into the great passer that he's become. Then you had Randy Moss, where that run was phenomenal. Then they had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez when they went with the double tight end.
Right.
Then they had Wes Welker, you know, possession receiver, right into Julian Edelman.
Yep.
Now in Tampa, he's doing it with all these weapons. Patrick Mahomes is still in the infancy of his career where he's got Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce who help really enhance his skill set, right?
Yeah. Right.
We need to see Mahomes win because the quarterback can play for 20 years. The skill position players cannot.
Right,
so once Tyreek Hill and Kelce are on their last legs, we need to see Mahomes do it with more complimentary pieces.
You're going to have to identify to their last legs before they're on their last legs. You're going to have to identify it and be able to know, all right, Kelsey's got two left top, and now we've got to find a young kid to get in here so he can replace Travis Kelce. And you'll know when Hill slows down. You'll know it right away.
Because
the way he moves, it's like, whoa.
Dude, he's a blur.
Whoa.
I was reading something in The Ringer over the weekend, a story about, I think, just a preview of Championship Sunday. And Brady, I guess, has told some people that if Aaron Rodgers played in New England, that Aaron Rodgers would be like that. He would have gone to even more Super Bowls. He was basically saying Aaron Rodgers is so much better at quarterback than me. It's not even funny. And if he had the benefit of playing with Belichick and everything that Belichick is capable of and the way they scout and how intricate and how finely detailed they are, that Aaron Rodgers would have been to almost every Super Bowl. That was the point Brady was making. Or at least, I don't think he said that publicly, right, Mellor? Apparently he has told some.
Yes, that's a backstory.
It's a backstory, like one of those backstory NFL things. Like he's told some close to him that. He goes, and guys, you think I'm good? Aaron Rodgers is better.
And guys that play the position like he does will look at what he, you know, Aaron Rodgers is doing on film and goes, what?
Right.
How?
Yeah.
How did he see it? You know, when did he get that? That kind
of thing. That's kind of amazing.
You know?
Like Aaron Rodgers has the same mind that Tom Brady has, but his arm talent is better.
Right. Without question. And his mobility is better.
He's been saddled with Mike McCarthy for a good decade of his career, and a lot of people don't think Mike McCarthy's a very good head coach, despite the fact that he's won a Super Bowl.
Packer fans think that, and they've thought it for years.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard it from we all have Packer fan friends. Living down here, there are a lot of Packer fans. We all have them, and they've said for years they hated McCarthy.
The coach you hate is the coach that's there.
That's true.
People hate Matt Nagy now.
That's a good point.
They couldn't stand Anthony Lynn in San Diego. The next guy's the best guy. Can't wait to get him in. So.
It is incredible, though, that Brady's going for a 10th time. You got to wonder what Mahomes is going to do in his career. The guy's 25. He's going for a second time. If he wins a coin toss a few years ago, who knows? Maybe it's a third straight. He's won 6 playoff games. He's 25 years old. And I think a lot of people think he's going to win his 7th in 2 weeks. And what's going to stop them? It's remarkable. And I don't. And honest to God question, like, is there a first half deficit that, like, what is it? What's the number where you would say, well, where you'd pull the Merc, where you'd say, you can call it, this one's over. You know, for mere mortal men or teams, you know, you're down 21-0 in the first half. You'd probably say, or 24-0, nah, this game's over. What is that number for the Kansas City Chiefs? I'd honestly like to know what people think.
It would be a number and time left.
Yeah, like,
it's a dual answer.
Yurk, if I told you by some, I don't know how it happens, but it happens. If I said, Yurk, in 2 weeks, it's going to be, Tampa's going to be up 28-3 with 6 minutes left in the second quarter. Is that game
that's
over?
That's not enough. No, that's
and
not
like,
enough.
That's,
that game's not over.
And that's shocking. Think about that. Like, Yurko just said, no, that game's not over for Kansas City.
No.
And it's shocking.
I'll tell you where. 35-3 with 12 and a half minutes left in the third. And
then it'd be over.
35-3 with 12 and a half minutes left in the third. It just started.
Okay.
It's funny because I was thinking, I didn't think scoreline, but I was thinking the magic number is 32. If you get over 32, now you're talking five possessions in the second half.
Right.
Because, you know, and even still, like, 32 is pretty ridiculous because you would need to convert every two-point conversion.
Correct.
So I wouldn't feel good about that. But if you give me 33, then I'm willing to say, all right, that's too much.
It's amazing.
Time, 12 and a half left.
That's the way we're talking about the capabilities of this offense.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. Let us know what you think. Here's that soundbite I promised a few minutes ago. This is Bruce Arians. And, you know, I think people understand his philosophy. He's been this way ever since he was a coordinator and when he coached that 1 year in Indy and then when he was coaching out in Arizona. And they had some very, very good teams with Carson Palmer. He's always a big, you know, let's throw it down the field as deep as we can kind of guy, right, Yurk? It's let's take our shot.
Yep.
He knows what football has evolved into. It's all about getting the ball downfield. And nobody takes as many deep shots as Tampa. You know, maybe Green Bay was the only team better than them or did it more often during the regular season. It's these teams that are willing to score points and score a lot and go down the field and take chances that do well. And Arians has always thought that. And now he's got a great complement of players and he's got Tom Brady as his quarterback. So no risk it, no biscuit is his thing. They were faced with a 4th-and-4 from the Green Bay 45 late in the first half. And initially he thought, all right, let's just play it safe and punt it back. And then he thought, you know what? I'm better than that.
Yeah, I was like, when it come here to not take chances to win the game, you know, with the timeout and then the interception, I wanted to come out of there with points. You know, we said punt it, but then loved the play we had and got a great matchup and got the touchdown that I thought was huge.
They get the first down and a little pass to Leonard Fournette, and then the next play, Scotty Miller's running behind Kevin King. They're not settling for a field goal. Let's take one shot. And Tom Brady saw it, threw the ball up, and Scotty Miller was walking alone into the end zone. And it's not always going to work. Like, I get it. And the coach has to wear that. If I were a head coach in the NFL, that's my philosophy. What Bruce Arians just said. We didn't come here to punt or kick field goals or not be aggressive. If you think you can win that way in this NFL and where the NFL is going, you're sorely mistaken. And I would play every game that way. I better be aggressive. And sometimes I'm going to fail. My team's going to fail and I'm going to lose and I'm going to have to wear it and I'm going to hear it from the fans, but I'll wear it. And that better be the philosophy you have if you want to be a head coach in the
NFL. You
want to
be on
today.
The front foot.
Yes, you do.
You'd want to be on the front foot. You'd want to be aggressive all the time. And as long as your team understands that, this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing. This is our philosophy. If it doesn't work, we do not take any negativity from that.
Right.
We get out there and we understand what the scenario is and we make it happen. Because usually what happens in game when you don't get it on fourth and goal and you don't get it, it's kind of a, you know, it feels terrible. But if you tell your team this is what we do all the time, and if we don't get it, I expect the defense to go out there and make a stop and get us the ball right back instead of letting a 98-yard touchdown drive be, you know, committed against them. If, as long as they understand your team, how you're going to play, and that's the mantra they have too, there you go. You'll be in pretty good shape.
I think Sean McDermott made a mistake a couple of times yesterday. It probably wasn't going to matter. I totally understand that. But Buffalo kicking field goals twice in the red zone. One time it was fourth and goal from the KC2. Come on. Fourth and three from the KC8, so you can actually pick up a first down.
Yeah.
Come on.
That makes the end zone a little bit bigger for you when you can pick up a first down. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sean McDermott's got to be better
than
that.
It does make it bigger.
If you think you're beating, first of all, you shouldn't have that philosophy against almost anybody you play in the NFL anymore because the way the league has evolved. If you think you're beating Kansas City by kicking field goals, you're sorely mistaken. It's as simple as that. You got to be better than that. And you've got to be more aggressive.
Yeah, score touchdowns.
You just don't have the luxury anymore. The game has changed too much. And we gave you the stats last week. Look at the Final Four. I ran through it with you guys. They were top six, top seven in every offensive category. Every one. That's the final. Those are the finalists every year. Is there an outlier from time to time? Sure. But you can't do it like you did 20, 30 years ago in this league. If you're not willing to be explosive and take shots and score 30 a game, if you can't score 30, if you can't score 28 regularly in this league, you are not a serious contender in this league.
To be a Super Bowl team.
That's what I mean. And
right.
You can
get to the playoffs, but you're not going to the Super Bowl.
Every bit of relevant data says that. And it's a big data sample at this point. You better be able to put the pedal to the metal. It's as simple as that. 312-332-3776.
That ties in, too. All the more reason why Matt LaFleur's decision not to go for it on fourth down, it's like the same principle.
It is.
Like, stopping the opponent is harder than it's ever been.
Ever.
And
the rules don't help you on defense.
Exactly.
It's harder than it's ever been.
And even when you actually, even when you do a decent job of making it close, you end up with, you know, was it Kevin King with the pass interference? You do your job for two, three downs, and all of a sudden, it doesn't matter because game over, you got a pass interference.
Stopping people is awfully hard.
They just had to replay the final play of the first half. And watching Kenny King's arms flailing about.
You call him Kenny King.
Kevin King?
Yes, Kevin King.
Kevin King with his arms flailing around.
Terrible.
Awful time.
What was the call, Yerk? Why is there no safety help over the top?
They looked like they were playing man coverage.
Why?
And it was a single safety, and he had to come on over if he was going to help at all.
But is the corner's got his responsibility there. Is anything underneath is okay,
deeper,
right?
I mean, deeper than the deepest.
Yeah, Yerk always says deeper than the
deepest.
If you
end up giving up the three, they had no timeouts. The ball's got to go to the side. What's he waiting for him to break to the sidelines?
Right. Like, yeah, your point's always on those plays. Like, the DB has to know. The one thing that can't happen there is the guy getting behind
him. And he didn't just get by him by a little bit.
No, he got by him by a lot.
He beat him by 5 yards.
Like, you've got to know those things. Those are simple things, right? Elmhurst Steve's on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steve?
Steve.
Hey, guys. You know, it was more like Kevin Court gestures, what they had to switch the name to. That was just, he was a clown out there.
It was bad.
But, oh, my God, what a terrible game. It's a good thing for the Packers. He's going to be a free agent. They can move on and hopefully get a better player at that position. But, you know, as far as you're talking before about Aaron Rodgers and his contract situation, the only reason that it would make any sense that they would even consider moving on for him is that if they do this year, they get $22.5 million in cap relief, and they're going to have some dead cap space, but it's way more dead cap next year if they wait a year than it would be this year. This year they actually get a lot more relief, and so for that reason alone, with the salary cap shrinking by $25 million, that's going to present a lot of problems and a lot of guys that you're not going to be able to bring back on this team, or guys that you could bring in from other teams. So that'd be the only reason that you consider it, and I think they'd be stupid to do it because, I mean, come on. you're going to move on from the MVP.
I know, and when they still, you know, back to back appearances in the title game. Yeah, I know. I their best bet still appears to be with Aaron Rodgers. Steve, thanks. So maybe more punitive after next year, if they decided to do something, and that would be the only reason that maybe by some long shot or some miracle they'd think about doing it this year. When we come back next, I know you're poring over some numbers, so you can go ahead and continue to use the break to dissect those numbers.
I appreciate that.
And look, the winning teams yesterday scored, what, 38 and 31 points? I mean, a lot of fireworks. And for all the fireworks, we still haven't played the best audio or highlight yet from yesterday. We'll do that next.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We talked to our buddy Elmhurst Steve a couple of minutes ago before the break, and Yurko spent the stop set, as we call it, in the biz, going over some of the numbers. So I'll let you have your moment because you want to correct something Elmhurst Steve said, and then I want to play for you what I thought was the best highlight of the day.
No problem, Carm. It's potential cap hit after 2022. They've got to out after this season.
Talking about Rodgers' contract.
Aaron Rodgers' contract would be $17,204,000. If you wanted to move out, that's when they can have a potential.
He was
out.
Saying it would be more punitive for them a year from now, but you're saying it's not. Be better.
No. This year, 2021, okay, his cap hit would be $31.556 million if they moved on from him.
The
dead money.
$31.556 million.
This comes from Sports Track. I'm not creating these numbers out of the blue.
Right. That's very accurate.
Or out of the wind. Right. It tells you exactly what the dead cap money is, exactly how much yearly cash is due, exactly how much of the contract has been paid out. There's no gray area to numbers. And under 2021, it said potential out 2022, 4 years, $126,999. The dead cap would be $17
million.
So after
next year,
2021, that's when you might be able to get out of the contract with just $17 million in dead cap money. This year's dead cap, if they moved on from them this year, before the 2021 season, would account for 31.556.
Where the cap's going to go down, I mean, you can't do that. It's like the Khalil Mack dead cap hit. You can't trade Khalil Mack, right, because of the dead cap money. So take that, Steve. I like Elmer, Steve.
I'm not making these numbers up. It's Sports Track. It's right in front of my eyes.
Now Steve's probably going to call back, Merck, and want to argue his point again. But I don't know. I mean, Yurko is looking at the numbers.
Right here.
I mean, so right I don't
know. In
front of me. Things got a little chippy, as you'd expect, late in the game yesterday in Buffalo. Late in the game in Kansas City, between the Chiefs and Buffalo.
After the play was over, unsportsmanlike conduct, offense number 17, unsportsmanlike conduct, defense number 57, personal foul, offense number 73, personal foul, offense number 76, all penalties offset, fourth down.
Wow. That was the best. You hear the other official telling him the numbers. They're running down the list of everybody. 76, 57, 17. These penalties offset. I was like, wait a minute. They all offset? That's it? All that for another?
Three penalties on one team, one penalty on the other.
Hilarious. They're all offset. They're pulling guys off each other. There's four penalties. They all offset. I'm like, okay, that was good. That was good.
It reminded me of the replacements.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly right, Merck.
Shouldn't offset just be 1-1 and then there's two more so the other team gets... Am I crazy?
That's what it should be. I believe that, but you can only accept one of those. I don't think they're going to go.
No, and I agree. Of course, but like if we had, for instance, two against the Chiefs and three against the Bills, two of them offset, then the third one you get to tack on.
Should be accounted for. That might make a little bit of sense.
Yeah, like the 1-1 offset, and then you pick from the other two and enforce that penalty.
Right. You know what you're saying? What the beauty of KC and Buffalo are? Is they both were first-place teams. They will match up every year for a while.
They'll play next year.
Yes, they'll play next year. They'll play the year after that, as long as they both finish first. That's the beauty. Why New England and Indianapolis always matched up every single year before they ever got to the playoffs. That's the beauty of the NFL schedule.
Good point. Yeah, that's why Brady and Manning, we got treated to a lot of Brady and Manning over the years.
Yes.
Think about it.
Yes.
Every year we'd get a Thursday night or Monday night matchup between Brady and Manning, right? For so many years,
somebody's got to lose that.
We're going to get a Buffalo. We're going to get Buffalo and Kansas City next year. Yeah, I'll take those games. Absolutely. I thought yesterday we'd be closer. I really thought Buffalo had a shot, but what Kansas City does is just, you know, I mean, I wrote it down, too. So yesterday it was a 23-point swing, right?
Yes.
Last year, 44-point swing versus the Texans.
It's a big one there, guys.
21-point swing versus the Titans and a 21-point swing in the Super Bowl versus the 49ers.
That's right.
So four of their last five playoff games have seen a greater than 20-point swing. They've been down. They come back. They win by double digits. I'm telling you.
It's crazy.
I'm not kidding. The Buffalo Bills got out 9-0, and I thought
he was in trouble.
This is the racehorse that gets out to the big lead and then dies on the back.
Right, Sham in the Belmont.
I'm like, I'm done. I'm done here. It's over.
And Mahomes was limited, too, with the turf toe. Now, he didn't like seem like it, but I do wonder if, like, in a normal circumstance, if he's not dealing with that, he's more prone to run a little bit, which makes him just...
Well, they win by even more than two touchdowns?
But that's what I'm saying. You had the opportunity there if you're the Bills. You get up early. True. You've got Mahomes who's somewhat limited, however that is. But, you know, still, Yerk, you've probably known a few guys in your day who tried to play with turf toe and couldn't do what they normally can do, right?
Right. Hey, Sterling Sharp had turf toe.
Yeah.
And every day he treated that thing. It got treated every day. Found a way to go ahead and play through it, but it wasn't easy.
That's no joke, turf toe.
Jack Lambert ended his career.
It did. So 9-0, right? The next three drives in which they came away with touchdowns on each drive. So, I mean, just like that. Mahomes, ready? I mean, his second quarter was brilliant. Here's Mahomes on the next three drives when it was 9-0, guys. 15-20 for 164 yards and a touchdown. So that's, 75% on your completion?
Is.
That's about 8 yards a clip, you know, and 8 yards an attempt. And a touchdown. I mean, like, boom, 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 boom. It's just, and what do you do with Kelce?
Like clockwork.
What do you do with Kelce and Hill? And, you know, like.
And Kelce just finds space.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what's his biggest skill? He finds space. I mean, he finds space. That's what he does. I mean, either he's not a burner, he's not a guy that's going to take the top off the defense. What does he do? He finds space.
Well, and it's plentiful because Tyreek Hill threatens the defense, so they're already on their back heel trying to make sure he doesn't get behind them. And then all he does is just, you know, come back, and good luck trying to cover that each and every time. It's funny because, so my son, who's 10, knows a lot about football, but was asking me, what would you do? He said, I would just cover both of them with two guys. And I said, well, then someone else is going to be wide open. Nicole Hardman, you know, you've got one of the running backs. Don't worry, they'll get you. They're a matchup freaking nightmare.
They really are. They true with all the
and
speed.
And Frisco in the Super Bowl had done a good job against them.
Yeah.
Up to a point. They had done a good job.
Until they scored three straight touchdowns in the fourth quarter to win.
And then Tyreek Hill's wide open on a long play down the field. It only takes one of those. And Tyreek Hill dropped that first drive, what could have been a pretty big gainer.
True.
And so even when they're making mistakes, they're still hard to beat.
It just doesn't matter. They're down double digits or close to it every game. They win by double digits every game. What, he's lost two games, I think, since last November, Mahomes? He's lost two games, guys, since November of 2019.
I think I saw something tweeted out. The last time he lost by more than a touchdown was like his freshman or sophomore year with Texas Tech or something like that.
Sickening. Sickening.
It's a long time ago.
It's a good thing the draft boards had Trubisky going first. Larry's on the south side. What's up, Larry?
Guys, I want to talk about the Green Bay and Tampa Bay game.
Sure.
You notice that it was a relatively clean game for us referees, not throwing too many flags.
Yeah, they let them play most of the game. You're right.
And that hurt Green Bay. You know, Green Bay, usually they get about 3 or 4 PIs a game, you know. And they weren't getting them this time. And they pretty much came ordinary after that because they wouldn't get in the car. I know Devontae Adams, he kept turning around wondering where the flag was. He didn't get them this time. But I do think that the quarterback for Green Bay,
Aaron Rodgers.
He got away with a delay of penalty game twice.
He might have won. And you got to remember, Larry, thanks. Like, Yurko explained this. They do, like, the offense gets the benefit of that extra, like, half beat, sort of.
Yes.
You know, like, it can hit zero.
And there's still, like, a half a second left.
Right, yeah. Now, I thought one of them, again, like in the Bears game, was awfully close. I also think the refs missed a false start on Green Bay when they were driving.
Yeah, 77.
Yeah.
Quick off the ball.
They missed that.
Yeah, everybody I was watching with said, well, that's a legal procedure. They also let a play run in one of the games where clearly the defensive tackle made contact with the offensive lineman, and they let the play go on. It was the Green Bay game, and Aaron Rodgers took a shot downfield, but they should never have let that that go on. It was, they said in the neutral zone. Neutral zone, my ass.
If you're making contact.
He made contact with the offensive lineman, and the lineman moved before the ball was snapped. That ball needed to be dead, and it was encroachment. That was the penalty. Hmm. And they let it go on. I'm like, boy, I tell you, if they score on this play, like if Green Bay just throws a Hail Mary and it happens to score, I go, there's going to be 1,000 things wrong here.
Hmm.
And there was a ton of holding going on. I don't like it. They, you know, every once in a while, like every 2 or 3 years, the defensive backs will come up with a system where they can cheat the system and hold and do it from the side and on the sly away from where the official that's supposed to make the call on the sideline can see it. They've been doing it. They've been doing it all year. Nobody's done a damn thing about it. And in the offseason, they're going to have to look at this and the way they're playing their techniques and get into it because I like offensive football. And as part of offensive football, you can't have them basically hanging on to your bumper and skitching along on the because they get an unfair advantage in that regard. I don't like it. I don't want to see it anymore.
There you go.
Offseason. Fix it.
312-332-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. Yurko is at Yurko64. That's Yurko with a J. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Could another quarterback be available in the Bears' pursuit to finally fix the position in the offseason? Sure looks like it. We'll talk about that next.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
Say hi to Andrew and Elgin. He's been waiting patiently to talk about Championship Sunday. You're on with Carmen and Yurko. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I just want to say I love the show. I think you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, if you could just let me go with this, I'm a big, big Tom Brady fan. I've been a fan since I was 14. I'm 34 now, 20 years. So proud of my guy. He's just special, man. He went to the he went from the AFC to the NFC, beats Washington's defense, beats the Saints at home, beats Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. I mean, he's going back. And then the thing I just wanted to say is I'd give anything in Chicago just to have a guy like Tom Brady that I can believe in every week to give me a chance to win. And I just hope and pray that we get that guy one time, you know?
One time in our life, Andrew. Let's see if it happens. We've all been waiting, all of us, for a long, time. I have a player A, player B for you guys.
Like
you guys like these, right?
I'm so excited about
everybody likes a good player A, player B.
Sure.
All right, so if you want to take down a few notes, play along if you're listening in your car. Don't write if you're in the car. Just make a mental note if you're if you're streaming or if you're watching on Twitch. Grab a pen or a pencil or a marker or a crayon, whatever's handy.
We've
all right,
got
to go.
We've got
player A. Now, these are two quarterbacks, okay? Do this exercise, see how it goes. Player A. These are career numbers.
Career numbers, player A.
Player A, 1.42 touchdown to interception ratio.
1.42.
62% completion percentage.
Got it.
7.1 yards per attempt.
Right.
230 passing yards per game. And a quarterback rating of 85.3.
Okay.
All right, player B. Player B. Again, career. 1.96 touchdown to interception ratio, a little closer to that magic number of two. Completion percentage, 62.6%, almost identical. 7.1 yards per attempt, identical. 7.1 yards per pass attempt. 273 passing yards per game and a career quarterback rating of 89.9. Does either one of those quarterbacks kind of like jump off the page and is one, like, I guess you could say one's got slightly better statistics, but is it enough where you would argue in that player's defense a great deal? You know what I'm saying? Like, you'd be able to say, no, he's so much better. Player A or player B is,
so,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I don't know who the guys are, Carm.
Yeah, you guys might be able to guess. Some people might have an idea.
This sounds to me like it's from a particular era. Like, would I be thinking 90s quarterbacks?
You'd be wrong.
For 1,000 Alex.
You'd be wrong.
I'd be wrong.
Yes.
Then if these are current quarterbacks?
Yeah. Well,
currently now quarterbacks that have played.
One has played recently but is retired. One is a current quarterback.
Right. Those numbers then currently don't blow me out of the water by any stretch of the imagination. It sounds to me like these are two pretty average quarterbacks.
Comparable quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Meller, you have an idea of who those quarterbacks are?
Player A is obviously Jeff George, and player B is clearly Tim Tebow. No, I'm going to guess Cutler and Stafford.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Player A is Jay Cutler. Player B is Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are almost identical, aren't they? Now, Stafford's got some sexier seasons. At least the guy's thrown for 4,000 yards a bunch. And I've always said, like, Stafford's a slightly better version of Jay Cutler. He's had some better players, believe it or not. I mean, he had Calvin Johnson for a lot of years. And Jay had good players for a little while. I mean, Jay had, you know, when they were, it was Martellus and Brandon Marshall and Martellus. They were good. They were good offense. I mean, he had some weapons. Brandon was very good. Forte was good. But, like, Stafford's he's a slightly better. Isn't he just a slightly better Jay Cutler? And I don't think any Bears fans going nuts that, hey, look, Matt Stafford's going to get traded. They're going to trade him, right? That was the news of the weekend. They're trading Matt Stafford. Do the Bears have to go beating down the door of the Detroit Lions to get Matt Stafford?
I think what you're clearly trying to, the exercise you're telling us is that you don't want Matt Stafford here.
Would Matt Stafford be better than anything the Bears have had recently and even a little bit better than Jay Cutler? Yeah. But you beat down the door to get Deshaun Watson.
Right.
You don't beat down the door to get a quarterback that's going to be, what, on the wrong side? He's 33.
And don't forget, last year his season ended prematurely because of a back injury.
Right.
He had a broken back.
Two or three times we've had a problem with him.
So now I've got back injury in 33, and it doesn't do anything to address your long-term problem at the position. Would I go crazy? No, it's not going to cost you nearly what it's going to cost you for Deshaun Watson. I mean, I don't even know what Matt Stafford would command at this point, to be honest. I mean, maybe for a team real desperate that feels like it's kind of close. What would it even command, do you think, for Stafford?
I think he's going to get a first, but probably a late first. Like, yeah. I think a team like if you put him in Shanahan's system and with the 49ers who want, seems like off of Jimmy Garoppolo. With a late first-round pick?
Would the Colts go down that route after
absolutely.
1 year? Like, does it make more sense for Indy?
The Colts have done a lot of they traded for Jacoby Brissett. Eventually didn't like Jacoby Brissett. They signed Phillip Rivers after Phillip Rivers was basically given his. And I think that, okay, Phillip Rivers, thank you.
They made the playoffs.
He gave him everything he possibly could, but it was not clearly enough.
Right.
At some point, doesn't Indianapolis need to get a young quarterback in there?
I think so. But maybe for the defense they have with the line they have, like
they've invested in the running backs as well.
Right.
Maybe a running game.
We'll take a shot for a year or two with Stafford.
But not trade for him. I'm not trading for Matt Stafford.
You're gonna have
to me, Matt Stafford might be like a Cam Newton. You wait, you wait, you wait. The trade market doesn't materialize. People are valuing the first round picks and the cost certainty. He becomes one of those guys that gets released. Hey, we're going to release him now, but June 1st is when the day is, so they can go ahead and push whatever they need to another year. I really don't think anybody should go trading for Matt Stafford at this point.
This is not one I thought I'd see today.
But this is my advice for you and anybody else that wants to think about Stafford. You don't have to trade for him. If somebody does, well, good for you. But don't go giving trade equity away.
This is from MW Sox fan.
Draft equity.
MW Sox fan. Cutler never threw for 5,000 yards or over 4,000 once. Stafford did it 8 times. Stafford's a borderline Hall of Famer. Hall of Fame of what?
This is what you're going to get. This is a fantasy Hall of Famers. These are fantasy guys.
That's a legit argument. He's going to make the Hall of Fame.
Well, look.
Matt Stafford?
Yes.
Is Phil Rivers getting into the Hall of Fame?
Probably because of stats, yeah.
Because the way, and we've talked
Matt
about
Stafford
this.
Stafford goes in the Hall of Fame.
We've talked about this, though, in the last year or so.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers was never an all-pro.
I agree. I don't think Phillip Rivers should be a slam-dunk Hall of Famer, but a lot of people seem to think he's going to make
it. But hasn't Phillip Rivers been considerably better than Matthew Stafford?
Well, here's the thing. If you, he's Rivers, 38, 39?
Yeah.
Add 5 more average Matthew Stafford stat seasons to his current numbers, he's going to blow away Rivers' numbers.
Boy, that's a dangerous thing, though.
I just start counting
the yards because of the
error.
This is
the problem we're talking about. We've talked about it last week or so anyway.
I wouldn't think Matt Stafford even can possibly sniff the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry. I must have been watching a different quarterback.
He's got a chance, though, when he retires, to be the all-time lead. He can pass.
All-time leading passer.
But that's... I know, but you have that. If that's on your resume,
that's insane.
But is that not going to... I don't know. Is that... Does that sway you at all?
No. I mean, I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine him making it. Didn't Philip Rivers at least play in a couple of conference championships?
He played in one.
With no ACL.
Look, Rivers might not be a slam dunk. You're right, guys. I
personally wouldn't, but a lot of people think he is.
Okay, but it's certainly not a slam dunk, and maybe they argue enough and he gets in someday, but I can't believe I heard Merkin just say that either. I would be floored if Matthew Stafford sniffs the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, we've been watching a different quarterback.
Is he Boomer Esiason? Boomer Esiason's not going to the Hall
guys,
of Fame. He never is.
He doesn't even have a quarterback rating of 90, guys. I mean, how are you going to put a quarterback in this that played in this era that doesn't have a quarterback rating of 90?
I don't know, man. Is Frank Gore going into the Hall of Fame?
Well, that's your problem.
I agree. That's I don't want Frank Gore in the Hall of Fame, that's but he's Hall like a no-brainer, fame. Apparently, because he's third all-time. He's going to be third all-time in rushing.
He's got 15,000 rushing yards.
No, I can't get off of Matt Stafford. What I'm saying? Listen, I can't even believe that anybody would argue that Matt Stafford's close to the
Hall
of Fame.
If Frank Gore goes in,
stunning to me.
The quarterback position gets a lot more, you know, plaudits for everything that happens. If Frank Gore goes in, I think Matt Stafford's going in.
Boy, oh boy. We got to start you might have to build like a Hall of Fame down the road and say, you know, well, this one's kind of put some of the guys in this one, you know,
maybe
get their clothes.
Maybe in Kentucky, right? Like something in Cincinnati, not Canton.
Listen, longevity can't be the only thing that gets you in the Hall
of
Fame. You have to dominate.
There has to be some skill involved.
You have to dominate to get into the Hall of Fame. Dominate.
But the problem at the quarterback position is you don't have to dominate at the quarterback position.
Are you telling me
for
that
some
like,
crazy reason
Tony Boselli can't get in the Hall of Fame, but you're going to put Matt Stafford in because he happened to play a long time and like he collected yards in a passing era? You didn't tell me Jimbo Covert's got to wait 20 years before he gets put in on a veteran committee just because of longevity? You gotta be better than that, everybody. You gotta use your head a little.
Well, why use your head when you can use emotions? That's what everybody wants to use.
You know, longevity can't be the only... Then build like a hall for longevity. Say, these are the guys that play 20 years. Like, Harold Baines should be in that hall.
There's a sponsorship deal with Viagra right there waiting
exactly.
for you.
Exactly. Like, you can build a separate hall, like, and instead of in Canton, put it in... What's a close suburb of Canton, Yurko? I don't know the area.
Youngstown. I don't know.
Okay, I don't know how close that is.
Ashtabula.
There's a hall of fame in Youngstown where we're going to put the guys that had longevity.
Just put him in David Baker's backyard.
Okay, fine. Because if Tony Boselli can't get in, but because Matt Stafford threw for a lot of yards because he played a lot of years, can? That's... I got...
Would you rather have Stafford in or Frank Gore?
Pass. Neither. I mean,
listen, you go over Frank Gore. Said, yeah, never an all-pro ever for Philip Rivers, just so you guys know.
Oh, my God.
Never an all-pro.
Has Matt Stafford been to a Pro Bowl?
Philip Rivers.
I mean, maybe a couple. I got this guy on
Twitter.
This guy on Twitter's like vehemently arguing. What are you talking about?
It's a stat
thing,
though.
Have you ever watched Matt Stafford play?
It's truly a stat thing.
Matt Stafford's been to one Pro Bowl.
Yeah, 2014.
So has Mitch. A Hall of Fame? He's been to the Pro Bowl once.
Record sub 500. I mean, at some point, don't you lift your team?
It's laughable.
If you're a great quarterback, don't you lift your team?
This was an all-timer today. I thought we'd get fans like, yeah, maybe the Bears should, maybe they shouldn't. The idea that Matthew Stafford is somehow a Hall of Famer is...
Listen, I could
do another hour on this.
Sylvie's adulation for Greg Olsen has got me sometimes sideways also. Greg Olsen was the difference for the Bears.
I don't think people know what a Hall of Fame is. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Carmen, it's funny that you bring up, we're talking about Hall of Fame. We will talk to one guy we hope goes in the Hall of Fame this year.
Tony Boselli.
And another guy who will be an absolute lock when his name comes up for the Hall of Fame. I think he's got one more year left.
Another absolute lock.
Devin Hester.
Let's see if Merkin's got this one right.
I'm not saying it's because he's a Wisconsin guy. This guy is an absolute lock.
Wisconsin?
Maybe one of the best ever.
Ryan Dane, College Football Hall of Famer.
Wait a minute. Hold on. So he's coming up soon for the Hall?
I think a year he'll be up for Hall of Fame consideration.
And he's a former Badger?
Former Badger.
Who am I missing?
Football player?
Oh, Nick Tune.
Altoon was the better.
Altoon was the better, Merk. Yes. Nicely done.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. A former Badger that's going to be that finished playing about 4 years ago. That's
three,
about,
maybe 3 years ago, or this third year out of the league.
Hall, wait,
very active on social media.
Still can't pull him.
He does a lot of work. Merk says he's a lock.
Still can't pull him.
We are talking to Baselli this week, which is great. Yes. We love talking. Yes. He did the game for Westwood One yesterday.
Second game, yeah.
Second game. We love Westwood. Yeah. We love Baselli.
Harimi, probably not.
We should just end the show right there.
Oh, JJ Watt. Oh, he's still playing?
No, he's still playing. Wait. I love J.J. Watt. Well,
J.J.'s going to be a, you know, no.
Yeah, so he's a, yeah, he's a walk-in.
You're looking at the wrong guy here.
Miller, am I crazy? Do you know who he's talking about?
I can't wait to hear who this name is.
Do you want me to give you
Jamar Fletcher?
Sure.
Jamar Fletcher was very good for the Chargers. Yes.
He was good.
Give us the position.
Yeah, go ahead.
O-line.
Shocker, offensive lineman from Wisconsin.
O-line.
Joe Thomas.
Yes. Oh, Joe Thomas. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's a lock.
Lock. There you go. Okay. Shame on us for giving you Joe Thomas. There you go.
I got him.
Your job, Yurko.
Well, I got him. Shame on you.
It took a clue. It took a big clue.
Well, of course.
Merk, that's an excellent call. Joe Thomas.
He played on the Cleveland team. That was absolute crap.
Now, for our misguided friend on Twitter, that's a Hall of Famer, Joe Thomas.
Yes.
That's someone who dominates.
Yes.
I thought I've heard them all. I didn't think I'd get an adamant defense.
I do love Olsen. Of course you do.
An adamant defense of Matt Stafford for the Hall of Fame someday. Yeah, and Sylvie does love. We all love Greg Olsen. I don't know that Greg Olsen's a Hall of Famer.
Well,
I'm more with you.
He didn't say that. He said he liked him. He respected him. He wished Marge never traded him.
We all love Greg Olsen.
I know, but he never said he was a Hall of Famer.
Okay, yeah, because that's another silly one.
You got to be fair.
Yeah.
But his love, because I guess Olsen
he retired officially.
Retirement.
Yeah.
But he's got a tremendous love for Greg Olsen.
Well, he should. They used to be kickball partners and stuff like that.
Sometimes you got to be able to separate that friendship.
Yeah.
Well, separate that friendship.
Greg was a heck of a player. He certainly had a nice career. I mean, he really did. Had a better career than, you know, look, I wish the Bears could have utilized him in that way. And they made the silly mistake of getting rid of him and then thinking that Kellen Davis was going to be better. That's your problem.
He could be your tight end in the Hall of Very Good with Matthew Stafford under center and Frank Gore in the backfield.
We'll put that one down the road a piece from Canton. You have the other Hall of Fame.
Somebody didn't say he was a Hall of Famer. I don't
know. No, I know. But you could put him in that one. Oh, my goodness. You want to play Coach K real quick from the weekend? Did you hear Coach K? Boy, I tell you, this guy's something.
No, I want to
hear nerve
Coach
on
K.
Coach K.
He's got some cojones, this guy.
Yeah, his team's no good for the first time in a while. Like, it happens. They're bad.
Good.
I think they're 5-5.
If I don't get to see him in the tournament this year, I'd rather see University of Maryland, Baltimore County again.
No, you know, nobody thinks less of Coach K's ability to coach or put together championship-caliber teams, so they're having a down year this year, right? But he's got to go after student reporters now because, you know, let's pick on the students. Here's Coach K after the loss.
Hi, Coach. I'm just curious as to what the next step forward here is for the team as you guys move into another week of basketball.
Yeah, why don't we just evaluate this game? You know, I'm not into what our next step forward is right now. We just finished the hard-fought game. Yeah, I don't know if, like, when you, what's your major? What's your major at Duke? What's your hardest class?
Econ.
Okay. So say you just had the toughest econ test in the world. And when you walked out, somebody asked you, what's your next step? You see what I mean? You have some empathy and
lunch.
And yeah, you know, just give us time to evaluate this game and then we'll figure out just like we always try to do.
Now that's a joke. And apparently he's apologized, and rightfully so. What that student asked wasn't out of line, you know, didn't cross any sort of line. It was actually a fine enough question that Coach K could have answered, whether it was a student or otherwise. Answer the question. Not berate a student because you don't like the line of questioning and then ask for your, make no mistake about it, Duke is a professional basketball organization that's worth millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And generates millions of dollars of revenue and has made Coach K tens of millions of dollars over the years. It is a professional basketball program. That's what Duke is. For him to ask a student to give us some empathy because we're 5-5 is I'm trying to think of the right word for
it. Sorry, you can say
it's almost like a slap in the face, really. I mean, that's what it is. It's an embarrassment for Coach K. And he has apologized, and rightfully so. I haven't even heard the apology. Did he just apologize today?
In writing?
Jeff Goodman tweeted out that he apologized.
Yeah.
He called him.
And then he called the student.
The reporter from Duke said, what a week for me. You know, asked the question, got berated. Then Coach K called me this morning and apologized.
I mean, come on, Coach. You got to be better than that, you know. Right?
Take that.
Take that, Coach.
They're a Nike school, right? Duke?
I believe they're right? Nike.
He's acting awful lot like a word that rhymes with swoosh, if you ask me.
That's exactly. Blank. Whoosh.
Blank willow. Swoosh.
All right.
No, you go blank bag.
Thanks for calling and participating today. We'll see you tomorrow. Greeny is coming up next. Waddle and Sylvie back with you at 2 o'clock. Bleck and Abdallah at 6 tonight. 4 Meller and Randy Merkin and the Good Kid. I'm Carmel. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good day.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!